This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings, and none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Janet Jackson, Someone to Call My Lover.
Now, Jade, sometime last week, we heard some very exciting news and very happy news, mind you, that my favourite manatee, Mariah Carey, is actually with child.
Manatee?
Yeah, because she... I know it's a bit mean, perhaps.
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful even, but I think it's cute. Manatees are very cute creatures. And Mariah just have that kind of whimsical, graceful thing about her that I can imagine her as a manatee floating in a river.
Okay.
So it's a compliment, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't all Mariah fans shut down the station. I love Mariah. But, you know, the thing is that she publicly came out sometime last week admitting that she is pregnant to break the news. After months and months of speculation, is she with child? Is she not with child? And the funny thing, Jade, is that today I was watching Ellen. You know, I love Ellen.
Yeah, Ellen's great.
Got to get an Ellen fix. And Mariah went on Ellen to promote her new Christmas album. And, you know, there she was. She was holding the CD up, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was kind of looking at that and looking at her now and then kind of trying to – you can tell the clocks were turning in everyone's heads. Kind of going – how did you look like that if you've been pregnant for a couple of months now?
Yeah.
I mean, your body has not looked like that since you were 16, probably. How did you... And then she explains it all.
Okay.
And this is the best part, right? Because I don't know of anyone who you know, is so organized with their photo shoots and album recording and all that to really fit it around their pregnancy like this. So I think it's incredible that she's done this. She basically came out right and said, oh, you know, the photos were taken, you know, before the album was done, so there's no problems there. No problems.
Maybe she was, but she might have been photoshopped.
Oh no! But the thing is that she planned it, and I think it's so beautiful that Mariah plans to, you know, get all her photo shoot done before, you know, she falls pregnant and balloons at a later stage.
You really think she planned it that well?
Either that or some really good Photoshop sorcery has been happening in the studios because, I mean, even if that photo was indeed taken before she was with child, I mean, come on. Girl, please. I mean, that is still Photoshop perfection.
Yeah, well, that's what she's good at, though.
But I love that she organized that and she thought about that ahead of time. I mean, if I was a pregnant diva, which, you know...
it's bound to happen.
Oh, eventually. I mean, technology and the way the world's headed these days, I mean...
If anyone can be a pregnant diva, it would be you.
I can be the male manatee. But, you know, I would not plan that. I would just be, you know, I would just get my preggers on all over my album cover. And you can contour it, you can Photoshop it all you like, but I'm bringing my curves on. You know, that's just me and my male manatee-ness. And, you know, my Christmas album would just be a gatefold because it's just that huge. And I'll be proud of that. But, you know, Mariah's got this image she needs to keep up, and I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Dave... you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, you checked out Mike and Molly?
Absolutely. So it's a new TV show that aired in America last month.
Okay.
And it's basically a sitcom about two plus-size people trying to lose weight and build up their self-esteem while also managing their blossoming romance. So it's kind of like a chick flick, except it's set in a sitcom. And you see, my first impressions were kind of, this is kind of going dangerously into, you know, daggy sitcom territory. You know, I mean, it's sweet, it's funny, but the character seemed a bit, I don't really relate to that. I mean, it's set in Chicago. The main protagonist is Mike, so he's a police officer. And then there's Molly, the grade four school teacher. So they're both very nice, genuinely likable characters. But I just think the kind of dialogue that was happening, you know, it was cute at first, but after halfway through the episode or three quarters of the way in, I started to think this is a bit too much. Most of the dialogue kind of consisted of, you know, fat jibes, and it kind of puts it in a context where fat jokes are acceptable.
Because people are allowed to say fat jokes.
Well, it's not about the fat people making fun of themselves. It's about their family. It's about their partners. It's about their friends making fun of them. And in those contexts, you kind of go, okay, they're kind of things that you would expect your best friend to be able to say to you, or your mom or your sister. You know, it's kind of little disses and little put downs that, you know, you expect family and friends to be able to say to you. Whereas in a normal context of TV scripting, those lines, you would never be able to get away with it if it was some other character that was related to it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So I thought it was really interesting that was put in that sense. But the show ran into a little bit of controversy, and it's no fault of the show's at all. It's actually, I think, if anything, would have generated good publicity. I think after the first or second episode air or something very early on, Jade, a Mary Claire blogger called Maura Kelly wrote a post about how she was grossed out watching, quote unquote, fatties kissing or doing anything. Very controversial stuff to be saying. You know, to be talking about and referring to larger people as fatties, and, you know, it was kind of disparaging. But I had a read of this post because it caused so much drama and so much hate mail and all that. And the writer actually had to come back and apologize. I put a little update down the bottom of the post. And I love that her apology wasn't directly, you know, trying to make things better. She just said, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, yada, yada.
It's standard apology stuff. It's always, I'm sorry if I offended anyone. It's not any genuine. It's never any genuine.
I never felt that it was done with heart. But the interesting thing was that this writer brought out a little something else in her apology. She said that, you know, the reason why she had this opinion could be tainted by her history with anorexia and her lifelong, I'm quoting now, lifelong obsession with being thin. So it's all this stuff that's come out here, but I found it interesting because the apology, in no way does it try to change the feel that thin is good, fat is bad, which still felt like the message behind her post. And I think it's really cool to have a show like this where the main characters are plus-size people because so often, Jade, I mean, you and I can probably discuss this, in TV shows, how often have we seen the bigger best friend?
It's
the
bigger
co-star.
It's always, you have to be like, actually in 30 Rock, they make, Jack at one point makes a joke about when Jenna puts on weight, right? And he says, you know, she's either going to gain 30 pounds or lose 30 pounds because there's no like middle ground on television. Like you can't be sort of a little bit overweight. You have to be really big or really skinny. And like the really big one always plays like, you know, the best friend offsider, you know, the quirky one. Like
the one, the jolly one who never really finds love.
Often very unlucky in love. Like
that's such a bad you know, it's yeah. bad stereotype and representation. So I'm
and
really
it's funny that that's also what I think the gay character is often perceived in the same sort of thing. It's often that kind of similar thing. The gay character is the best the funny, friend, the yeah. you know, the funny one, the quirky one, not really the main focus of the show.
And you don't really see the gay best yeah. friend's partner a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe shifting cameos, but you know, times are changing, and now we see, you know, main characters that are gay, and you know, the partners are featured, and mm-hmm. you know, they're in committed relationships. So there's a bit more variety these days. But I feel that the fight for plus size people is only just getting there with this show. So mm-hmm. it's really nice to see, you know, them as the main characters, and putting in a positive light as well. I mean, these Mike and Molly, they're finding love,
mm-hmm.
they're achieving their goals, and they, you know, they live a fulfilling life. And I think it's just wonderful to see that on TV. I mean, the thing about these things is that unless it speaks to you, unless you identify with you know, those people on TV, you don't really notice that it's missing. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I mean, it might not be as apparent for you, but I'm always aware that there are either lack of Asians on certain TV shows or most TV shows mm-hmm. or lack of gay Asian characters even.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think unless it speaks to your culture or your, you know, your circle.
Your experience, yeah. You yeah. want to see people on TV that you can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel that it's a genuinely likable show. The script is funny,
mm-hmm.
you know, so maybe we can definitely give it a go.
You say that it's about pop artist booth character.
Pop artist booth character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, about 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I played a song on this show, and it was called Punching in a Dream. It was by The Naked and Famous. And you, for very rarely do you actually comment on anything I play.
Sometimes
you'll say things like, if you could play something a bit more upbeat, that would be nice. Or,
this is so unfair. This is an unfair representation of me as a co-host and a presenter and a professional, because I do not have those kind of comments. Very rarely do you just remember all the bad things. How about all the times I say your indie band's artworks are nice?
Yes, yes.
And I like that track. It's like, got a good kick,
you
good
do,
beat.
You do like sniffing the CD pamphlets of the indie bands as much as you do of the pop bands. That's true. But yeah, I played the song on the show, and you were like, you know, this is a really cool song. I really like it. Anyway, so I decided to review the album. So,
in hopes of winning me over even more.
Yes, yeah. And so they're from New Zealand, actually, The Naked and the Famous.
Cool.
And this is their debut. It's called Passive Me, Aggressive You. It spent a week at number one in the NZ charts.
So the song or the album?
The album did.
Because I know the song
Young Blood. The song Young Blood yeah. went to number one in New Zealand as well. It's kind of an interesting album, actually, because there's kind of two sounds going on. There's very much like those, I guess, sort of the pop, upbeat stuff that you hear in Punching in a Dream and the other single, Young Blood. But one of on the other flip side of it, there's this really kind of, I guess, kind of an electro version of the XX going on. As okay. well. And I don't know that you're going to know that reference necessarily.
But I'm nodding politely.
The XX actually just won the Mercury Award this year for their best album. So you know what the Mercury Award is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheryl Cole's nominated, right?
I'm sure she was. I don't know. but so they kind of combine these upbeat poppy sounds with these really low-key sort of emotional, I guess, like, a kind of softer tracks that they've still got that kind of electro feel to
them. So they're very now, because everything now is kind of heading a little indie electro, you know, yeah. you're getting these bands that are very friendly to remixes. Mm-hmm. You know, their songs would translate really well on the club charts as well and on the dance floor. So The Naked and the Famous, are those type of bands?
Well, yeah, I was reading some stuff on them today, and they're already sort of saying that it's a kind of tip to be another indie band that will kind of claim mainstream success very shortly, and that, you know, know, it's kind of in that weird middle phase at the moment where, you know, they're not actually hugely mainstream, but, you know, the indie people are starting to drop off them because, you know, they're not indie enough.
Oh, for God's sakes. I mean, they're going to be touring America this month and the UK, so that says...
And they've started to have some of their songs included on TV soundtracks, and you always know that that's, like, you know, American
TV. It's the
TV.
Apocalypse.
It really is. That's, like, that's the start of something. But, yeah, so they've got, like, these really cool male-female harmonies that go on, and I love those, you know, in bands. Like, my favourite bands, like Mates of State or the XX or Metric have got, like, those kinds of harmonies going on. The tracks that you have to listen to, Punching in a Dream, is one of the standout tracks of the album.
I love it. I got that song the very next day after our show, so I love it.
Young Blood, which was the single that went to number one in the UK.
In New Zealand.
New Zealand. We are going to play it today, by the way. All of This was actually another single, which apparently didn't do very well at all, but I really like it as a track. Mm-hmm. There's another song called No Way. There's a couple of songs on there. So for people who are more into that low-key sort of sound, Jilted Lovers, Eyes and The Sun very much have that really kind of low-key XX sound. And best name, by the way, of a track ever, Dave, A Wolf in Geek's Clothing.
A wolf?
A wolf in geek's clothing.
My goodness.
Yeah, it starts off sounding like this really weird sort of electro version of grunge. Like, the first time I heard it, it kind of had, like, you know, the album that Silverchair brought out after Frog Stomp? You don't know.
I love that you're not even going to finish that sentence. You're not even going to give me the benefit of a doubt.
They had, really sort of heavy, like, guitar sounds. Like, Freak was probably an example of it, of that. But it kind of has that.
I'm nodding politely.
Yeah, that was at the start. And then it turns into these really poppy harmonies. Weird song. Anyway, it's really good.
So is it more for the indie crowd or more for the pop crowd, you
well,
reckon?
Well, I think based on the fact that you're in love with the song, I think it's got... So I'm going to call them a Different Strokes artist. I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, it attracts both ends of the rainbow spectrum.
It definitely does.
Culture. The attitudes and behaviour characteristic of a particular social group. Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, straight after the show, we're going to rush off and go see The Naked and Famous, and I have a list of things that I find frustrating.
So you've done a gig attender. Okay. So I thought, you know, we should school people on this.
Yeah, okay. You begin and then I'll get into my variety of rants on the topic.
So basically, what we wanted to talk about is gig etiquette. You know, mm-hmm. there's certain types of things, or I should say a certain code of behavior you're expected to adhere to. Mm-hmm. And now I sound like a police officer giving a talk at a high school.
No one likes people who try and use
big words.
Or like who try and enforce etiquette. Like, you know, there's always people who are anti-etiquette. And I say that etiquette exists for a reason.
No, the thing is that etiquette's one of those things you don't want to be enforced because it feels bad if you're told. Mm-hmm. You do not want to be the one who's just been told.
Yep.
Okay. The thing is that you have to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So consider this, you know, a little sort of a little friendly chat, if you will.
Okay, we're not lecturing.
We're not lecturing. Okay. Forget the police officer.
I'm
going
to have to change my tone then.
Well, you're about to get very ranty, were you?
Yeah, about.
Number one thing about gig etiquette is that do not talk during the set. It is rude.
Can I give my example?
Okay. I know you're just dying to, you know, you're just holding back, holding back. You know, steam kind of builds up around your ears and I'm just like, ooh.
You know, Dave, I've talked about this particular gig a lot in the context of
this
show.
It's not a Ben Lee gig, is it?
No, it's actually Dashboard Confessional.
Do people misbehave?
No, we'll see. Like, okay, so I went to see Dashboard Confessional twice in 1 year. Now, the first gig was brilliant. We went along, everyone sung along, everyone knew all of the lyrics. We all got along fantastically. It felt like a big group hug.
Mm.
The second gig, well, in between first and second gig, out comes the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack, including a song by Dashboard Confessional called Vindicated. Now, on that, so what happened is, you know, they're then getting commercial radio play, blah, blah, blah. They come and play and they decide, they get, you know, a stack of commercial radio groupies.
Oh, no, Jade.
Seriously, I went along to the gig and the people talked through the entire gig, and very frustratingly for me as a longtime fan, they played Vindicated as their last song. So that was the only song that people did not talk through.
That is terrible. Yes. So you get these Fairweather fans.
Ugh.
Only there because they know the single.
Fairweather fans are the worst.
I know how you feel because, I mean, when I went to my first Beyonce concert, look, I make the mistake of opting for a seat when I should really be. I mean, all real fans should be out the front, yes, if possible.
You should be trying to, like, get on there and touch
exactly.
hands.
So
and all
I,
of that.
I didn't make the mistake the second time she toured Australia, but the first time I kind of thought, okay, I'll get a seat. And you, when you're up, you know, up in the stratosphere, so to speak, at Rod Laver, you know, you're really far out, super cheap seats in comparison, of course. But when you're that far out, you kind of sit it around people who are not really fanatical about Beyonce.
Yep.
And they will only get up for like the single or for Beautiful Liar because they know that one. And I'll be up on every album track, just, you know, I think it's really important to have that atmosphere where, where, you know, people are really getting into it, which leads us to the next point. What is, Jade, what is the etiquette on singing along?
I think...
Should you, when?
Look, I think if everyone's singing along, it's fine, but I wouldn't be okay with singing along to every track because you're there to hear the person sing, not karaoke.
So within reason, like, do not turn this into something about you.
Yes.
It's about the performer.
Because I mean, I go to a lot of gigs that have sing-along, like, you know, as I mentioned, Dashboard Confessional, very famous for their sing-along style of, gig. And then, you know, Ben Lee also enjoys a good sing-along, as do Tegan and Sarah. So, you know, but I'm okay with the occasional one, but then I don't want this kind of ongoing, no.
You do not want to be standing next to someone who knows every word and is not afraid to
and
show it.
And thinks they can, rip into the song and make it their own. This
now,
isn't like a version.
This isn't like a version. Jade, I mean, what do you think about, because you and I think it's safe to say that we are short people.
Ah, yes, we're little people, yes.
We're little people and it's always a little bit harder for us tiny folk.
This is probably my number one etiquette frustration, right?
Okay.
The tall person who decides that they're gonna push past me and stand directly in front of me, like they're standing directly behind me and now they're gonna stand directly in front of me. Now I'm not sure how they're getting a better view than they would from standing directly behind me. But, and you know, that I'm sure that extra 10 centimetres closer to Tegan and Sarah is all important considering how far we are back to begin with. They might actually make contact and fall in love with you. I don't know.
But they probably feel that if we take over Jade and then we take over the one in front of her and it will slowly move away
so
to the front.
I'm a stepping stone on the way to the front row is what you're saying.
Exactly. And I've been in that situation before. Girl, you do not want to come across me at a gig and you try to push through, okay? Things have gotten ugly before, let me just say. I did not get kicked out, but if the bouncer had seen what I did, I might have been thrown out.
Like, I try to be low-key about it. I don't try and stand near the front at all. Well, I'm never trying to stand near the front. And that's what I kind of find more frustrating about it, that I'm purposely not trying to get in your business and you're pushing directly in front of me.
But as a short person, do you feel that the onus is on you to get there early to bag that spot if you want to be at the front?
Well, I don't want to be up the front, so I don't need to be up the front.
Well, then you got to be able to accept the fact that taller people might stand in front of you then.
Well, I'm okay if I happen to be standing behind a tall person. It's when the person comes and stands in front of me, like pushes and stands in front of me if I've been there first. I feel like that's a breaking of the etiquette.
What's your etiquette on the drink situation, Jade?
What, should people be allowed to have drinks?
Yeah.
I don't like it when people get overly excited at gigs.
But it's okay to have a drink. I'm usually seen having a drink mm-hmm. at a gig, but I always make sure that my drink levels are at an acceptable level, that it's not spilling on, mm-hmm. i.e. myself or someone
when
else.
When you squeal, when they play, I don't know, some
when Robin album comes track. Out. Yep. Yeah. But, you know, I always make sure that drink situation is in check. Now, going back to the case where I, you know, might have confronted someone mm-hmm. at a gig. Mm-hmm. It's actually related to a drink situation.
Yeah.
See, this girl is actually, she broke two cardinal rules of gig etiquette here. She pushed in front of me mm-hmm. and she had a drink.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, you know, half empty glass. Mm-hmm. It was full to the brim. Mm-hmm. And make that two glasses that she was kind of straddling along. Yeah. And she was already somewhat intoxicated, just making her way up to front. I think it was Jason Mraz we were seeing. So, you know, we get some really nice, lovely, enthusiastic first-year uni student crowds that just want to get up close to Jason.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was already there and she pushed in front of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, before she got past me, there was a moment where she tried to get, you know, she was behind me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I knew of her presence because I felt drinks all over my back,
yep.
all on my sleeve. And I thought, somebody's trying to tell me something. Maybe I should turn around and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, look, this young thing wants to push past me and she's got drinks and she does not care that it's all over my top now in her plight to get forward.
Mm.
Okay. So she pushes past me successfully because I was just sick of mm-hmm. her spilling all her beer on me. So I let her through and then I just pushed her.
Did she drop her drink?
I pushed her. Because I was sick of being pushed, so I pushed her.
Yeah, and?
And the drink went flying.
Security was cold?
Security did not see anything. But, you know, she went flying forward and drinks went on other people and I just don't care.
I couldn't agree. Like, you're very good at getting, like, kind of bitch please, like, you know, with looks. But I cannot imagine you getting physical about bitch please.
It's just, it came to a point where my jumper was all wet.
Yeah.
And I think I was just so annoyed that it was just cold and it was sticky and it was gross. And I just thought, you want to go forward? I'll show you forward. Okay. But
yeah, all the way to the front.
Yeah, off you go, girl. So look, Jade, I mean, let's hope none of that happens tonight because it's just going to be ugly.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.